This is Bucket Listening from First Horizon Bank, sharing firsthand stories from people who have found a way every day to live their bucket list.
Hi, I'm Tabitha Scott, and I'm so excited to have you here with us today for First Horizon's podcast, Bucket Listening. Now, this is a very special episode, not just because we're talking about why we need women's superpowers with personal finances, but we're also taping in front of a live studio audience. Now, I have with me some superheroes who are gonna help us unpack what that means, women's superpowers, and why that's important in your financial and personal resources. With us today is Tracy Bell and Holly Carey of First Horizon. Could you ladies tell us a little bit more about what you do and what your background is?
Sure, Tabitha. Thanks for having us today. We're really excited to be here and talk more about women's financial superpowers. So my name is Tracy Bell. I'm a chartered financial analyst holder. I'm moving into the chief investment officer role at the end of March upon the retirement of my boss.
What?
So I'm looking forward to that new exciting adventure.
Is this a new role?
It's a new role for me. It's not a new role at the company.
I think that deserves a cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, yes.
Cheers, for sure. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Holly, give us the scoop.
I'm Holly Carey, and glad to be here with you today, Tabitha and Tracy. I'm a certified financial planner, a professional. I hold the CFP certification, and I work with clients all the time on their goals and objectives and their financial situation and make sure that they're on the right track, and if not, help them get there.
So today we're talking about women's superpowers. And I got to ask, before we get going, why women and why now?
So there's a shift going on within the financial landscape that is really important for women. So between now and 2030, there's about $30 trillion that's shifting into the hands of women. And this is coming in two ways. So first off, the baby boomer generation. There are a lot of people retiring. And there are a lot of people who are unfortunately passing away. And most of the time, women will outlive their husbands. So they are receiving a lot in assets through that generational transfer. Then for the younger generation, we've seen a growth in women's labor force participation. We've seen a growth in educational attainment. Women earn 44% of bachelor and higher degrees now, compared to 22% in 1980. And they're making more money and they're staying single for longer. So they're not getting married until they're a little older now. They are involved in their own financial decisions and their own financial planning for a longer period of time before they get married. So these are two big shifts within the industry that are benefiting women.
Anything to add there, Holly?
You know, practically speaking, the statistics say it all. But from a financial planning perspective, we see women all the time who are taking care of two generations. They're taking care of children at home, they're taking care of aging family members, mm-hmm. and they're kind of caught in the middle with their careers and trying to figure it all out. So I think women in this generation need help and want help, want advice more than ever.
Now, when you talk about women having a later age of marriage, for example, and then they're going to be around longer than their spouse, according to statistics, can you tell me how that's manifesting in the financial world? Like, why is that significant?
Right. Because of longer life expectancies, they have a tendency to need to plan longer. We don't want to run out of money, right? And we also need to plan for the what ifs. What happens if something terrible happens, or what happens if they have a health event? So women are needing to look at the long term and the long life cycle that they have, because things will change. If they're currently married, maybe their spouse passes away before them, and they need to have all of the contingencies in place to plan for that.
I think about when I'm thinking about going to a financial planner, I think, do I make enough money to have this conversation? Are they going to laugh at me? You know, you're talking about very vulnerable conversations, and that's a little scary. How do you work with that?
I think that's a great question. And really, it all starts with the conversation. So anytime I have someone come to me with some of those concerns, we just start talking and we try to find out what they're looking to accomplish. Hopefully, I can get a enough conversation started with them to where they'll let me in on what their fears are or what their aspirations are. And we can take that and build from that. Because, you know, I want to get them to a point where they're comfortable within themselves to just list their goals, list their aspirations, list some of the things, get it on paper, and try to figure out what their thoughts are. Because once we start the financial planning process, that's one of my goals, is to make it less intimidating. We just start with a conversation and get them talking.
That's great. Now, can you tell me about the difference between what you two do? I know you're both financial superheroes, but what's the difference in what you do? And how do people know, like, who to call? What do they say if they want financial help?
My focus is more on economics and investing. So if Holly is working with someone and they have kind of detailed questions on what does it mean for interest rates, what's our outlook there, what might be happening with the stock market or the bond market, what's our outlook there, they would come to me, or Holly would come to me, with those types of questions, and I could provide some framework around those. It's really important not to try to time the market. We always discourage that. And one of the things I stress to people.
What is time the market?
Trying to buy in at low points and sell at high points, and should I invest today or should I wait 6 months into the future? Nobody knows the answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. These are unpredictable outcomes, especially in the short term. So what I love to tell people is time in the market is far more important than attempting to time the market.
Okay, that's a good tip.
And what I do is work directly with clients on their overall financial picture. So Tracy and I have talked about this a lot. And when she talks about, like, long-term portfolios or short-term portfolios, how does that apply to me is what my role is. So a client can listen to what she says from an economic perspective. And if she's talking long-term strategies, then we work with the client to show, well, that's when you're looking at your retirement bucket, because that's so many years in the future. If we're looking at short-term and interest rates and that type of thing, here's how that applies to me, you know, as the client. So we help discern that. The investment piece is just a small part, and well, actually it's a big part sometimes, of the overall financial plan, because as a planner, we're looking at everything from goals and objectives to things like risks and insurance and estate planning and all of the things, the big picture, as well as the investment piece. The investment piece fits in a lot of different places in the financial plan. So one of the things that we really hone in on in the financial plan is cash flow, mm-hmm. income and expenses. And when Tracy and I have talked to clients or talked at events, I always stress the fact that people get hung up on budgeting, right? They get hung up on trying to figure out what their expenses are. And I always say, let's not use the B word. Let's not use the word budget. Because to me, it feels like I'm on a diet. Mm-hmm. You know, I can only eat salad, or I can only do this, or I can only do that. I prefer to lean into the spending plan, because we all spend money just like we all eat food. Let's just plan what we eat. Let's plan how we spend the money. So that's all part of the financial plan as well.
I like that outlook. And it kind of ties back to bucket listing overall and its purpose, which is aspirational living.
Right.
What is that thing that you really aspire to do, and how can you get there? So let's talk about superpowers. I know that we're generalizing here, but there are some strengths that women have mm-hmm. that make them really great investors.
Yes. So we see a lot of interesting characteristics when we're talking about women's financial superpowers. Mm-hmm. And we created some characters around that to help explain that and help women identify and know their strengths.
Like superhero characters?
Exactly. Yeah. Like superhero characters.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a set of characteristics and a set of factors that really work well in the planning situation. And really work well when you're talking about learning about investments and having the right mindset with investments. So women tend to be longer term oriented as opposed to shorter term. You don't see women engaging in excessive trading in their portfolios. That's something that can actually depress returns. And that's a symptom of actually overconfidence. Mm-hmm. And women don't tend to suffer from overconfidence. So longer term view, appropriate level of confidence. Women ask a lot of great questions because they want to learn, they're interested in the details, and they tend to be less emotional about their investments than men.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. But because they have that longer-term focus, they're not worried so much about the shorter-term fluctuations and volatility. And they think of wealth as more of an ends to, or a means to an end with a goal, as opposed to, does my statement say a bigger number than it did last month? Or did I beat some market index? Women are more focused on, my goal is to retire at this age. My goal is to send my kids to school. My goal is to travel in retirement. And that's what we like to focus on when we're working with financial planning.
I want to dive into these characters a little bit more because I think we've got a few different ones that we want to highlight.
So we have four characters that we like to introduce and explain their strengths and their weaknesses. The first one is Eagle Eye Eileen, and we call her Eagle Eye Eileen because she has great long-term focus. She's not too concerned about what happens in the immediacy. She's looking long-term and planning long-term. That's a strength of hers. Now, the flip side of that is she can have a weakness, is that she doesn't plan for the short term. So she has to be careful that she balances out the short and the long. Then we have details, and she is just like she sounds. She's into the nitty-gritty details, and that's a strength. So she understands what's going on with the family finances, when all the football games are, when all the cheerleader practices are. She understands it all. That's a strength. Adds tremendous value to her family. And when she sits down to do the financial plan, she's adding in all of that. The flip side to that is she can be too focused on the details and miss some of the bigger picture and the longer term thinking. Then we have Lucy. She is cool hand Lucy. She is cool as a cucumber. She doesn't get flustered. She's emotionally kind of detached, which can be a good thing because she's not too emotional about her investments. And when there's short-term volatility, it's not going to rock her boat too much, and she'll stick to her plan. The downside for her is that something may happen that she needs to pay attention to that she kind of brushes off, and she doesn't worry about too much. And the last one is Susie Q. Susie Q asks all the right questions at the right time, and that comes from her having the appropriate level of confidence. She's not overconfident, but yet she knows what she needs to know when she needs to know it. The downside for her is that she may get too much into the questions and question, and not actually make a decision. So we call that paralysis through analysis. And you don't want to do that. You actually need to make a decision and make some things happen.
So do you see any generalizations as far as age, generations, trends, with these characters? Are there things that you're seeing that tend to be more popular with different generations, for example?
I think the questioning, the Susie Q, sometimes is the younger generation because they're not afraid to ask questions. They're not afraid to question the status quo. You know, I read an article the other day that was something to the effect that they're questioning and challenging the way things have always been. They're not going to save like we have been taught to save. They're going to save a different way. They're approaching work, for instance, in a different way. That whole gig profession where they're going to, you know, do different things and work from home. And I think that Susie Q is that younger person.
It's really interesting how you're observing all of these different strengths and superpowers that women have. Can you say more about how they can use that superpower? In this podcast, we're talking about a bucket life. How can you live today and do the things you want to do and you aspire to and not just put it off to the future? Because everyone thinks about retirement planning, But how can you do both where it's this and that instead of I have to choose either I'm going to have a great retirement or I'm going to experience and live my life today?
I think it's recognizing those dreams and aspirations on the very front end and whether they play out just like you've dreamt them or whether you have to change them, at least you've recognized them on the front end. And I think about details, you know, particularly in that Dee will do a lot of planning. She'll think through all of the things. She may even have one of those fancy, you know, planners with all the colors and all of those things in it. But if there's not a goal to all of that, she's going to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a way to bring in those superpowers, and maybe there's a way to carve out a certain part of the financial picture mm-hmm. that is specific to that particular goal or aspiration. So while we plan for retirement and educating the kids and insurance and all of those things, there's that little piece that's in her financial plan. Maybe it's a big piece that is that bucket item that mm-hmm. she's always wanted to do, and she needs to keep it out there. Maybe it's, you know, retiring from the corporate world when she's young and starting a business that helps others, or starting something that is more of a philanthropic thing. So to put that into the financial plan and make that be a component is usually very successful, but they have to recognize that on the front end.
Yeah, I guess if I had to think of a superhero character for how I deal with my finances, it would probably be in a minute or something like that would be the nemesis to your group, because I'm always trying to think like, I'll deal with that later. I'll fix this later. I'll get my accounts in order later. Everything is instant in a minute. And how do you deal with that whenever you're working with people? Do they think that planning is something they have to do later? Can they start now? What's your advice?
I think that whenever you start it, it can be relevant. Mm-hmm. So I've had people say to me, oh, I should have done this years ago, but my response to them is, well, you're doing it now.
Yeah.
So to keep it in the moment and to keep it relevant, to keep it fresh, to keep it updated, you know, make sure it's up to date. You don't want to make today's decision based on a plan you did 5 years ago mm-hmm. because things have changed. The market's changed. Your situation may have changed. So like the market, timing in the financial plan, when to start and all of that is probably not as important as what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And many times I'll sit down with people and there may be an immediate question, mm-hmm. something that needs to be answered right now. Maybe there's a decision on the table or what have you. So we'll work toward that decision. But then we'll usually say, okay, with that decision made, now let's look at the big picture and how it all fits together. So there's a way to address the immediate and the long term, or go back the other way mm-hmm. and address the long term and focus on the immediate when you need to.
I love that. And one of the things that I want to talk to you about is your first market call. Whenever you made your first order, that wasn't from an office after you had graduated from school. Tell me about that first order you called in.
No, it was from a very unique place. So I began having an interest in investing in the stock market at a relatively young age. And at age 14, my father opened a small brokerage account for me, told me I could buy a few individual stocks, which I did, from my school secretary's office. So the first call I ever made to purchase 4 individual stocks was from my junior high school secretary office.
That's fun.
Now, did they know that they were talking to a 7th grader on the other end of the phone?
They did. So the stockbroker was my dad's stockbroker, mm-hmm. and he had given her, it was a lady.
Yeah.
This was in 1988. Mm-hmm. So he had given her a heads up that I would be calling.
Nice.
So I did.
There you go.
You know, I love that interaction. I've heard that story before, but Tracy's dad being supportive mm-hmm. of her endeavors and using a female advisor even at that time, mm-hmm. it just mm-hmm. goes to show how supportive men can be in what we're doing, too.
I remember when I was about 16 and my father helped me take out a loan. He co-signed on the loan, and it was for maybe $500.
Sure.
And then I mowed lawns to pay it off over
right.
time, but it taught me about lending and
that's
making
right.
your payments on time and earning towards something.
That's right.
And then it gave me one little thing on my credit report, which
right.
later in life I knew that was really important, just to get something on there.
That was an aspiration mm-hmm. at the time, and he recognized it. Same happened with my dad. My first car, he said, "Now, you know I'm going to have to co-sign with you." And I said, "That's okay, I'll make all the payments." And I did. So, but to have his support was phenomenal.
It really changes everything when you know that there's somebody you can trust and go to, and you really understand
that's right.
what's going on in somebody's life and can empathize with that a little bit more.
That's right. And we actually work with our clients on a lot of different levels. I have clients that I meet with monthly, and we have different goals every month that we want to work through. Or maybe they're working through a certain situation. I have one client right now with the health issue, and we're just trying to make sure everything's in place. And open-ended questions and open-ended topics are the key
Isn't that something? And everybody's different. It's not one size fits all. And
that's
I know
right.
when you're talking about the heroes and the characteristics today, that these are generalizations. So certainly we don't mean that every single person does things in the exact same way.
That's right.
But I think it's pulling out what are our strengths and how can we really sit into those so that it's not like waiting till someday when we retire. That's part of it, but it's also how can I live to do the things that I want to do right this minute?
Yeah, right. Recognizing strengths and being cautious around weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding that while people believe that money is about numbers and investing is about numbers, and it certainly is, but investing involves a high degree of emotion, and money involves a high degree of emotion.
Well, I just get nervous thinking about it. And you think about, I'm going to walk into a bank and talk to someone that expects me to be a millionaire before I can ask questions.
Right.
And how do you help people feel comfortable with any life stage and any financial background?
We have to meet them where they are. And whatever level that they're on or whatever their perceived level is, and find out what their questions are, and just starts with those conversations. Since kind of we've been working from home more and those kinds of things, having virtual coffee with the client sometimes goes a long way, because many times I'll say, take the numbers out of the picture. Let's just chat. Let's just talk about what you're concerned about or what you're aspiring to do. And that starts building the financial plan.
I love what First Horizon is doing to help women find their superpowers as they're going through. We have a lot of listeners out there that are going to be interested in this topic today. Is there a takeaway that you would like to share more specifically with the women that are listening to the podcast today?
Well, I think, Tracy, from my perspective, I have clients who will sit down with me and say, oh, I should have done this years ago. Well, okay, maybe you should have, but disregard that and you're doing it now. So take action now. One of the first steps in any good financial plan is to get organized. Most of my clients will sit down in front of me and they may bring in a stack of statements, or they may bring in a box of information. Our first step is to know what you have. So I would say gather information. Don't be afraid to find a professional you can talk with, and just take action now.
And it's never too early to start. So Holly mentioned people saying, I should have done this a long time ago. Yes, but it's never too early to start. So even if you're a young professional, you're just beginning to earn money, it's never too early to start that plan. For women especially, so one of the challenges that women face, we tend to live longer, we tend to earn less, we tend to take breaks for caregiving, whether it be children, elderly parents, siblings, a spouse, and all that adds up to a longer life span with less earnings coming in. So that means you have to be very deliberate about managing the money that you've got and
That's
the wealth
right.
you've got coming in. And don't be afraid to take risk, appropriate risk, but don't be afraid to take risk. So one of the dangers is not taking enough risk and not earning a high enough return over a long period of time.
So let's go back to the theme of bucket listening. It's all about living your aspirations every day. How do you get from here to there, where you want to go in the future? And I'm curious, do you have any people that you've worked with that really stand out where you've helped them live their bucket life? And could you just give us an example of that?
Working with professional women these days is a far more frequent occurrence than it has been in the past. And it's fabulous and it's fun. And sitting down with those women and putting pen to paper and showing them, yes, your income level, what you've saved, how you're saving, how you're investing, that is all working for you. That is tremendously rewarding to sit down with those clients and have those conversations, because they are thinking about, what do I want to do in retirement? Do I want to travel? Do I want a second home? What do I want to do with my kids? What does it mean for me?
Right.
And seeing those things come to fruition is, like I said, tremendously rewarding.
And what do they want to do today? I mean, how do you help them live their life today and tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you a practical story. So working with a family, working with the client, and the woman specifically is the one who is kind of the leader in bringing me information and working through the financial plan. And they're working through some things today, which goes back to the spending plan. So there's some things that they would like to do and like to be able to do, for instance, travel or buy a new car or all of those things. So we've worked that into today's spending plan, or we did at the time. And so fast forward to a year or so later, they came back to me for one of their follow-up meetings, and she looked at me and she said, "This has been so fabulous because guess what? He's announced his retirement for, you know, 6 weeks from now or whatever. And we feel comfortable that we're going to be able to do that."
That's
because
awesome.
We've worked through this entire process mm-hmm. from the short-term goals and aspirations to now the long-term goals that they want to achieve. And Tabitha, one of the best questions that I have found that I can ask my clients is, you know, if you take a goal like retirement or even an education goal for their children, is to ask them back an open-ended question like, what do you want to do? What's your vision of retirement?
Yeah.
What is your vision for this child that you're looking at for, you know, the education? You want to send them to a certain college. Well, why did y'all pick that college, or what's happening there? So to get them to articulate their vision and their aspirations so that I can know better direction on how to steer and what financial part of their whole situation needs to come together to make those happen.
And I love that. Don't be afraid to dream.
That's
right. Don't be afraid to take risks. It's not an either I plan for my future or I live my life today. It's I plan for my future and I'm living my best bucket life right now.
Exactly. And you mentioned fear earlier, and you know, how do we get that fear out when they first sit down with us? And again, it's, you know, tell me your dream, tell me what you're looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get started talking, then we can pick that ball up and go with it and go that direction with them. Not as a, you know, kind of a telling them what to do, mm-hmm. but partnering with them to help them get there.
That's so great. Now, I want to know what your dreams are. What's next for you and what's on the bucket list?
I am thinking about spending more time visiting some of the beautiful places that we have throughout our country. So last year, I took a trip to Wyoming to the Grand Teton National Park and enjoyed that immensely. So now I have my eyes set on where I'm going next. And I don't know where that is yet, but it will be somewhere fantastic.
Wow, that's amazing. How about you, Holly?
Well, mine is very similar because I love to travel as well. And my husband and I are actually doing some traveling now. We have a blended family. And so sometimes it's nice to get away. We have some bucket places on our travel list. And while I love my job and I love what I do with clients all day, every day, it's so nice to see different places and get away. We're looking at a nice cruise coming up. And so the travel part is really good.
Thank you so much for being here today, Tracy and Holly.
Thank you.
And to all of our listeners today, thank you for listening to Bucket Listening with First Horizon Bank. It's never too early. It's never too late.
That's right.
So get started on your bucket list today.